Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. St. Louis ranks among the top 20 cities in the country for sex trafficking. There's a new safe haven for victims here. We'll be talking about it in just a couple of minutes. But first, symbols of the Confederacy, especially the Confederate flag, have made headlines since the massacre in a Charleston church earlier this month. There's been a groundswell of demands that the flags be removed from public places. St. Louis is part of the debate because of Civil War memorials in Forest Park, one of which, honoring the Confederacy, was recently defaced in protest. There have been calls for removal, and the issue is being reviewed by the city. Eddie Roth, the City Director of Human Services, is studying that possibility, and he joins us in studio. Also with us is Louis Gertheis, Professor of History at the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Gentlemen, thanks so much for being with us. Nice to see you.
Good to see you.
Professor Gertheis, let me start with you, if I may, and ask if you think there is a distinction between the memorials such as those in Forest Park and the battle flag we've been hearing so much about.
I do think it's a big difference, particularly for the memorial in St. Louis and Forest Park, because it was vetted before it was put up, and it was put up without any belligerent symbolism. There's no soldier, there's no weaponry. There's a depiction on the north face of a quote from Robert E. Lee about how all the men who had fought for the Confederacy had been noble and brave and patriotic. And on the south face, a very handsome, I think, bas-relief showing a family saying goodbye to a man who's presumably heading south to join the Confederate Army.
The flag, on the other hand?
No flag. No, there is an angel on the south face of it.
No, I know there's no flag on this particular memorial, but with regard to the flag and the flap over that.
Yeah, the flag, the battle flag of the Confederacy, I mean, nobody ever shows the national flag of the Confederacy, but the battle flag is a symbol of belligerence, I think, and
a different story. Yeah. Eddie Roth, what's your take on all of this?
Well, I would agree that the monument is a more subtle symbol than the battle flag itself, but I do think that it is in its own way a provocation, with a small p in the sense that it was put there for a purpose, a rather pointed purpose, one in which sympathizers for the Confederate cause sought to glorify that cause and to reshape national memory. I think that since it's situated in something of a backwater of Forest Park, it doesn't come into sharp focus when we think about the park itself. But when people come upon it, they're rather surprised by it, and understandably so, because it amounts not just to a memorial for fallen soldiers, but when you read the inscriptions, a genuine glorification of the Confederate cause. And I think that that can legitimately and understandably give rise to offense and should command our attention. And that is why Mayor Slay, who removed the flag from the rotunda at City Hall a dozen years ago, earlier this spring, called for its reappraisal.
Professor, does that change your thinking at all?
Not entirely. I think there's a history of the ideology of the lost cause that Eddie and I have talked about before that's expressed in this memorial and that makes it an historical relic. I mentioned to Eddie that I use it as a teaching tool. I have students go down and take a look at the memorial when I'm teaching my Civil War history class and try to figure out what it means and why it means that. Because it was erected in 1914. At a time when the ideology of the lost cause was at its peak, Woodrow Wilson had just been elected president. The Democratic Party had come out from under the shadow of the Civil War and the taint of treason. Woodrow Wilson also introduced segregation to the federal government. Gave a screening of the famous film Birth of a Nation by D.W. Griffith, which had also come out in 1913.
Probably more objectionable to most than any monument.
Very much so, since it was a glorification of the Klan. Mm-hmm. This is an expression, the memorial is an expression of a particular time and a whole phase of our history that really lasted for about a century, from the death of Frederick Douglass in 1895 and the emergence of Dr. Martin Luther King in, let's say, 1965. So from that whole period of time, the ideology of the Lost Cause dominated not just among former descendants and former supporters of the Confederacy, but it dominated the nation's point of view. Academic historians wrote from that perspective as well.
And of course, St. Louis had a rich role in the Civil War itself. Undoubtedly, would be commemorated somehow. I would have to think.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. And I think the fact that it was that the memorialization of the Confederacy was limited to this rather subtle memorial was a testament to the strong Unionist sentiment in the city, particularly among Germans who had supported the Union cause almost to a man.
Eddie, how far should all of this be taken, do you think, with regard to reaction to what happened in Charleston?
Well, the mayor's call for reappraisal predates by a couple of months what happened in Charleston. And I think it should be taken far enough so that people can understand the context, the real historic context and purpose of this monument, which, while more subtle than the Confederate battle flag, is a monument to a myth that was perpetrated as a highly coordinated, strategic, generational effort, mainly by affluent women of the Confederacy. I mean, talk about the long view. This was an effort to reshape national memory and to seek the reunion of the states by casting aside, ignoring, suppressing any conversation about emancipation of the slaves. And was in, you know, part of its purpose was to promote white supremacy and to push down any kind of granting of political rights to the newly freed slaves. That is the reality of what this monument stands for, and someone happening up Confederate Drive in Forest Park, which itself should get people scratching their head, and seeing this would cause them to wonder, what on earth is this? I mean, I think the only thing that saves it as it stands right now, without any kind of interpretive material around it, is the extravagance of the inscriptions, which speaks to how the Confederate cause was actuated, and I'm quoting now, by the purest patriotism, and they performed deeds of prowess such as thrill the heart of mankind with admiration. That's what this statue in our exalted public space says. I mean, it's so extraordinary that I think it would make Scarlett O'Hara blush, you know. So I think that that's, you know, saves it in a way. But I think that we need to focus on this until people understand what it is. And part of that conversation, I think, needs to include whether it should be situated someplace else and how best to do, as Dr. Gerteis does, use it as a tool to educate citizens.
Which is what the Missouri History Museum is proposing in its analysis of the situation, as I understand it.
Yes, and I would, wherever it is situated, it should be used as an education tool. The question is, and the question that the mayor raised, is the monument most appropriately situated in Forest Park, the place, as the mayor characterized it, where the world was asked to meet and experience St. Louis at its best and most sublime? That's how the mayor put it. And I think it's respectable to say leave it where it is and use it as a teaching tool, but I think that it is also perfectly respectable to think about the political point being made by a break in where it is situated and finding some other place that is where these educational efforts can be undertaken.
Such as?
You know, there are military cemeteries. There are other parks that that collect relics. And as Dr. Gerteis put it, this is a relic. There's no question about that. And I think that that's part of the public discussion that needs to happen. I actually thought the City Museum would be an excellent place for it. That's a they have serious fun at the City Museum, but it's a serious place. And I think there are many places where this would be appropriate, including where it is now. I don't rule that out, and the mayor hasn't either. He's called for a reappraisal of where it should be situated.
Which he has tasked you with doing, correct?
He's asked me in the first instance to put together a program. I mean, what was most important to him at the very beginning was we're not putting this whole thing open to debate. People are entitled to their opinions, but they're not entitled to their facts. There are some facts in relation to this monument that are not subject to legitimate debate. We're not going to relitigate the Civil War. The monument is its purpose, the intentions of those who established it are now well settled as a matter of mainstream, the work of mainstream historians such as Dr. Gertijs, even though they got it wrong for many years. They have it right now. And part of my task is to frame it in a way where we're not going to open up a conversation and say, oh, well, you know, it's really something else, that this is about celebrating our heritage. It's a very pointed political symbol, and it should be understood as that. And my task from the mayor is to confer with esteemed historians such as Dr. Gertijs, and he's been very generous with his time and given me a reading list. And by the end of the summer, I hope to have a incisive document that frames the conversation.
Professor, any quarrel with any of that?
No, and Eddie's a quick study. He read David Blight's book, which is, I'll give a plug for, which is titled Race and Reunion, which is a history of exactly how that reunion took place, reunion was pretty much in place by the time the memorial went up. But it was a reunion cemented by white supremacy and a commitment to white supremacy and to segregation.
Okay, what do we do about Confederate Drive, on which this monument is located?
Confederate Drive is not very long. It's just a little loop that goes around the Confederate Memorial. I don't see any reason why it couldn't be renamed.
I know that Alderwoman Elida Krusen, in whose ward it's situated, has introduced legislation to have it renamed, and that was also one of the mayor's suggestions, is that we look at that, and he had proposed maybe renaming it Freedom Drive or Justice Drive. It might be a more universal way of thinking about even that period of history.
Do you think in any sense, Professor, that we're being carried away by all of this, given the emotion and the drama of what happened in Charleston?
I think there's a danger of that. I think there's a danger of Americans don't always have a very good sense of their own history, and I think sometimes we can sweep away historical memory in the process of trying to move forward in terms of our own culture. David Brooks had a recent piece in the New York Times on Robert E. Lee, and Robert E. Lee was the patron saint of the ideology of the lost cause, and Brooks is starting to argue that perhaps all the place names around Lee. I went to Robert E. Lee Elementary School in Arlington, Virginia, that lived next to Lee Highway, and so it's a very delicate balance, I think, of how you handle these commemorations and their expungement.
You bring up a point that I want to pursue in just a moment, but I have to take a break. We'll do that. We're talking now about the disposition of the Confederate Memorial in Forest Park. With me in studio is Eddie Roth, City Director of Human Services, and you just heard from Professor Louis Gertijs, Professor of History at the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Back to continue the conversation, if you'd like to get into it, we'd love to have you. Give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. Send us an email to talk@stlpublicradio.org. If you prefer a tweet, STL on Air is our address. Back in a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now back to our conversation. Professor Gertijs, you mentioned Robert E. Lee, and some folks are suggesting we'd name changes and what have you. What about the Jefferson Memorial in Washington? There have been suggestions, too. He was a slave owner. We should not treat him any differently than any other slave owner.
Well, most of our politicians, leading politicians in the early part of the Republic, many of them were slaveholders. So you run into a fairly big problem fairly quickly. Washington, of course, was a slave owner, as well as Jefferson, Madison, Monroe, and so forth. So where do you draw the line, I guess, would be my question.
Eddie, your thoughts on that?
Well, I guess I would just say generally that we have a lot of social issues confronting us, and being overly introspective about our historic race relations is not one of them. And I agree that you can overdo these things, and you know I don't think that anybody is seriously talking about taking Jefferson or Washington to task. I think it's worth observing that they were slaveholders, as were virtually all the Virginia founding fathers. I think that what we're confronting here is something that's much different and much more homegrown. And while a relic in, on its own terms is something that still is part of who we are, and that our confronting this monument and our the history behind it is something that will help us today. So I don't think it's far-fetched.
Another issue that has come up, I've never seen it, but I understand that on Memorial Day, a number of Confederate flags are placed on the graves of Confederate soldiers at Jefferson Barracks. Good idea?
Well, I know that the Confederate Memorial Day, it was an integral part of the whole Lost Cause movement in shaping national memory. I would distinguish bereavement of fallen soldiers from other things. This is a celebration that we have in Forest Park, and what people do in cemeteries, I think, is a little bit different than that. And I don't feel as pointed in my point of view on that, and I don't know that there's the same kind of objection.
Professor?
Well, I would agree. I don't think there's any reason to stop the people who want to commemorate the fallen soldiers of the Confederacy on Memorial Day. And I think I read in the paper that it's a very controlled event. So there's not a celebration of the Confederacy, simply a recognition of their valor.
Nonetheless, I have read, and perhaps you have too, that there are certain people who object to the flag overall who equate it with the Nazi flag and the swastika. Thoughts?
Well, I think one of the things that gets forgotten, I think, is that the Confederate battle flag was not the only battle flag that appeared in the war. And the Confederate national flag, which probably nobody would recognize as, or be able to distinguish from the flag of France or some other countries, is not what is being presented for belligerent purposes. And I believe, and I think Eddie has done some research on this too, that that the Confederate battle flag didn't start to be used for political purposes until fairly recently with the Dixiecrats in the 48 and mm-hmm. early 50s. So that was a massive resistance to desegregation. So mm-hmm. it's been a symbol of white supremacy and belligerence about white supremacy for quite some time.
Thoughts, Ed?
I'm not crazy about its use in any kind of public forum, but I think there's a distinction between what occurs in a cemetery and what occurs in other public forums. And, you know, I wouldn't recommend it to anybody, and I also would not begrudge anybody offense taken wherever such a flag is situated, mm-hmm. because it is a symbol of all the things that Dr. Gertheis just mentioned.
We have a number of callers. Let's get as many in as time will allow. And let's go with Mike calling from St. Louis. Mike, go ahead, please.
Yes, good afternoon. I wonder if I could make the observation that the master plan for Forest Park calls for taking out Confederate Drive. Maybe getting rid of that circles the monument might somewhat ameliorate the situation.
All right, thanks. I think there's an attempt to address that, Eddie, as you indicated a moment ago, with Alderwoman Cruzan.
Yes, and I understand that the master plan does call for that, too. I think that that I don't know on what time frame, and I think to bring political clarity around it, the Alderwoman has put it before her colleagues in the form of an ordinance.
Well, there's another Mike with us. Let's take his call. Michael in St. Louis, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I think we should also not to also focus on the Confederate flag, but also other things that are insensitive, like, let's say, you know, the Cleveland Indians or Chicago Blackhawks or, you know, stuff where it's not just, you know, our African American heritage of treating African Americans poorly, but also our Native Americans we treat poorly and whatnot as well. I think we should expand the conversation not just to the Confederate flag, but to other minorities we've oppressed as well.
All righty. Thanks for the call. Do either of you gentlemen have any thoughts on that? That's taking us somewhat off point, but
well,
maybe not.
I agree with the Washington Redskins because there's no that's very racial.
I wonder if this current discussion is going to revive that talk, because that seems to have petered out to some degree, that whole Washington Redskin
right,
flap.
Right.
Yeah. Now, the call, let's bring in Jay calling from Normandy. Jay, thanks for being with us. Go ahead.
Yeah, gentlemen. I think what I just heard from that last caller is going to be that the trend here down the line, you guys will be wanting, and especially Mr. Roth, I know what's going to happen. You guys are going to get rid of our history of the country. I think it's unfortunate that you're going to do that. If you're looking for a compromise, Mr. Roth, if you say that a few words on it are objectionable, perhaps, you know, take those words out. But I think the monument overall should stay where it is. And I've paid city taxes also as a former city employee. So that's my view. Thanks.
Thanks for the call, Eddie.
Well, I would say that since the mayor called for this reappraisal in April, that there's been more discussion about the Confederate monument than maybe there had been in the preceding 20 years combined. So this idea that somehow calling for a reappraisal represents an attempt to erase history is not just factual, not factual. It's kind of silly. And just to be clear about the potential outcomes, no one is calling for anything that would lower the profile of this monument. No matter where it ends up, it should be situated in a place where we can use it as the teaching tool that Dr. Gerteist specified. And I think that the way to celebrate our history is to be honest about our history and to confront it directly and not put coats of varnish and then look at it through rose-colored glasses.
What will your appraisal include? What kind of data will you be collecting, and when will you issue your report?
Well, I'm looking to get something to the mayor by the end of the month, by the end of the summer. And the idea is for me to confer with leading mainstream historians such as Dr. Gerteist and put down sort of an incisive statement of how did this monument come into being, who was behind it, what were their motivations, and how it fits in overall with what we now understand more fully to be our Civil War history, and how this so-called lost cause political movement affected us as a society today. In other words, to kind of line up the sort of considerations that would allow people to make good judgments on what should be next steps. And that would include also outlining potential next steps and stating what the pros and cons of each are and letting the mayor take it from there.
Professor, clarify mm-hmm. the lost cause element of this. I'm not sure that everybody understands. We know what the words
right,
mean,
right.
but in this context.
Well, consider that the Civil War comes to an end. The South is defeated and is impoverished after its defeat. By the time Ulysses Grant wrote his memoirs, which were published, I think, in 1885, the country was becoming to a reunion, a restoration of sectional. Of sectional unity, and he praised that in toward the end of his memoirs, and was pleased that his call for peace was being accepted, and the reunions that were held between veterans at various battles, including there was a reunion at the Battle of Wilson's Creek here in Missouri, in Southwest Missouri, where Confederates and Union troops got together and shook hands and so forth. That was all necessary for the nation to be restored to unity, and yet the unfortunate reality was that it was done around themes of white supremacy, a shunning aside of the role that blacks played in the Civil War, a a move toward racial segregation and so forth. And yet that's a reality. That's an historical fact that that reigned supreme in the country, as I tried to indicate earlier, for about 100 years. So anything that can get Americans to think more about their history and its and the duration of these ideologies, I think, is good.
I'm going to take one more call. I think that's all time will allow. We'll bring in Tom calling from Afton. Tom, thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Thank you, Don. My forebears fought on the Union side, and I've marched in the Ferguson protests, but I understand that this is a part of our local history, and I wonder if one approach to dealing with it would be to add a monument to the Missouri Putsch, to the St. Louis Germans who stopped Missouri from going to the Confederacy by overthrowing the governor. Some kind of balance there might be a solution, and I wonder if that's ever been considered.
Well, there is such a monument. It's the Nathaniel Lyon equestrian statue that's now located down at Lyon Park, which is near the Arsenal, which is where that geospatial agency is, and it's something that the Arsenal is something we should try to keep in place as well. And on that, on the pedestal of the Lyon statue are the regiments and the German commanders of the German regiments that broke up the Camp Jackson muster that was taking place near where St. Louis University is now. And one of the memorials do get moved, as Eddie Roth can tell us, and the Lyon statue was one that was moved from the location of the Camp Jackson muster to the location of the arsenal, and the campus of St. Louis University was named after the commander of the Camp Jackson muster, Daniel Frost.
All right, a nice history lesson right there, Louis Gertheis. Thank you for that. I'm going to have to end it at this point, but we do have an email question, or perhaps one of the two of you know this. Was there any commemoration of the Confederacy at the 1904 World's Fair? Do we know?
I'm not an expert on the fair, but I'm not aware of any. I've not heard of any.
I've never heard of any, but that was a long time ago, even before our time, Eddie. Gentlemen, I want to thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Nice discussion. Eddie Roth and Louis Gertheis. Coming up, the Magdalen House and the role it's playing in helping to deal with sex trafficking here. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.